What's going on? It's your boy, Bobby Dubs, Robo the Writer. And right now, we got something special for you. I done brought in my man D from Ignorant Thinkers Podcast.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to talk some craziness. What's up, D?
Not much, baby. Glad to be here.
Oh, man. I'm glad to have you. Glad to have you, man. I can't wait to get into this, man. You got two heavy hitters here, man, with some great opinions in the world of sports.
Two heavy hitting Eagle fans.
Exactly, man. Exactly. So we're not gonna waste no time. We're gonna get right into it. You know, we set this whole thing up, and one of the first things we wanted to talk about was how exactly we became Eagles fans. Because you know, we big Eagles fans. I've been Eagles fans as long as I can remember. See, my birthday next week, I'll be 36. So I might have been 7-8 years old when I got in this, but I'll go first. And then I let you go. What started for me was it was right after the 49ers were in the Super Bowl, and we got Ricky Waters. And I remember all the buzz around the town. We had got Ricky Waters, and then we went to the playoffs. And I remember that game when they mollywopped Detroit. Right. I mean, Rodney Pete was quarterback, and we did something. We beat them something nasty, and we were all surrounded in my grandma's crib and watching the game. And it was just crazy. And I was like, yo, I love this shit. Like, I love this football shit. I got to be intent on what they doing from then on out. And from then on out, I was watching every Sunday. I tried to get every game, you know, for the ones that was blacked out back then. I think people remember that when they wasn't that good and shit was getting blacked out. We couldn't watch them. So we go way back. We ain't no casuals over here. Remember the hard days.
The hard and the tough days. Mine started 1991. I was 6 years old. We were playing the Dallas Cowboys. You know, my dad's a Cowboys fan. My grandpa's a Cowboy fan. My uncle's a Cowboy fan. On the other side of my house, my grandmom's an Eagle fan. My uncle's an Eagle fan. My aunt's an Eagle fan. And mind you, they're only Eagle fans.
Good for them. Because
they love Randall Cunningham. I didn't know that at the time.
Oh, okay.
So Randall Cunningham was everything in my house. So, you know, that day we end up beating Dallas Cowboys, and I made my decision I was going to be an Eagles fan. And Randall Cunningham is like one of my most favorite players.
Yeah, me too.
But after I learned the game a couple years later, Reggie White became the guy that I, you know, idolized, yes, and I wanted to be like.
Exactly.
Minister of Defense, yeah. But the Eagles, man, yeah, we go back to all that, man. Randall getting injured.
I remember
Ricky Waters keep fumbling.
Oh, you remember the game where they stopped Emmitt twice?
Yeah.
Third and one, then fourth and one.
Fourth and inches.
I remember my entire house going crazy. I'm like, they stopped him. They stopped him again.
Yep.
Going nuts. I remember that was crazy.
I hated Cowboy fans in the 90s, though. I ain't going to lie to you.
Oh, yeah. I hate them, too. I got a cousin right now. He's probably watching. John, I know you watching. I hated that Cowboys.
Oh, you
such such front-running shit. I hate that.
John's my guy, though. Hey. I have a problem with Cowboy fans now. I love them. But in the 90s, I hated them in the 90s, Joe. Because they kept winning. Then they kept getting people. I was like,
exactly.
Oh,
dude, I remember that all season where after, you know, prime at one San Fran, and then it went and got Deion, and I was sick.
I was sick, too.
I remember hearing, like, yeah, he signed with Dallas. I'm like, oh, my God, why, yo?
It was too much.
How did Rich keep getting richer?
Right. And I think, like, the best thing that happened, I remember they fired Jimmy Johnson.
Yep.
And we were sitting there, we watching the press conference, and Jerry Jones said, well, I could get 500 different coaches to coach this team. And I'm like, and, you know, I'm just a young boy. I don't really know. I'm like, I think he might have messed something up here. I think he might have messed something good up here. But you know what?
And then they got beat by San Fran, and they won again. And then it was like a drought for 20 years.
Thank God for that drought.
Oh, my goodness. All them bum-ass coaches that came after that. Yes. The Chan Gailies of the world.
Oh, yes. I did like when the tuna went there.
Though. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like when the tuna went there. You got to let them shop for the groceries. You know what he said? If you don't let me cook the dinner, I got to shop for the groceries.
Got to shop for the groceries. Love me some Bill Parcells.
Oh, yeah.
He's a guy I would like to have a conversation with.
Oh, man. He seems like such a wealth of knowledge about the game of football. You would love to talk to Bill Parcells.
Yeah, most definitely. So who was your top? Well, I already said two of mine. So who was your top players?
I'm with those two. I'm with Randall and Reggie. Uh-huh. I always like B-Dawg. You know, watching B-Dawg in my high school year. That's when, you know, those teams were live. Like, my high school year matched up directly with that run of NFC Championship games.
Right.
So it was like coming in every January and getting clowned when they lost.
Yes.
But, you know, I was riding with them. So B-Dawg is definitely up there. Remember the guy I loved. I like Troy Vincent on defense.
Okay.
And even though, like, I'm going to give him his props, me and him butted heads. Like, we had Twitter beef and everything, but I'm going to give McNabb his props for
you
what he did. Like, I don't like dude, and I thought he was chill.
You had a Twitter beef with McNabb?
I had a Twitter beef. We went back and forth. He quote-tweeted me and all of that. Because I was like, yo, because somebody was hyping him up and giving him props, and I was like, I thank God for all the times he had to pat his chest and say my bad when he threw the ball at the ground. And he quote tweeted it and laughed in the whole 9 yards. Like, oh man, boy trying to come at me. Like, he tried to play it off like I was extra hyped to like put him down. But I'm like, no, boss, you had a lot of frailties and
but he was working with nothing.
I give him that the defense was good though, but
the defense was outstanding.
Jim Johnson was giving him all the
but he was working with nothing on.
I got his trash and stinks, and I got.
No, they're not even. Listen, they're not number threes on a lot of teams.
That's true. That's true.
On a lot of teams, and they wouldn't even make it on the greatest show on turf.
Exactly, and you saw, and I to his credit, you saw what happened when you gave him a legitimate number one when T.O. came.
They right. immediately he became a better quarterback, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, why would you waste all that time? Not getting him a wide receiver.
Being hard-headed. They think they can do it. That's
Andy Reid.
Yeah.
That's Andy Reid. Especially if he's going to run into that problem.
A quarterback that wanted to just throw the ball. You're going to have to give him somebody to throw
the ball to. Like, I mean, at least if we would have had a Monty Toomer and the Ike Hillier, then I'd have been like, no, he has something. You know what I'm saying? A Monty Toomer and Ike Hillier was nice. So I'd have been like, he has something. But the James Stash the top end, come on, man. They was
Kevin Curtis. Kevin, we named like that.
Kevin Curtis. Like, I was hyped to get Dante Stallworth.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this is going to be.
I do remember that one catch that year they had T.O. when he made that long run. I think it was like the first game of the season.
81 yards.
That was during preseason. Yeah. I think they played New Orleans that year in the regular season, like week one, and he had. McNabb had this beautiful play fake, play action, tucked it back. You lost the camera off the wall, and then he still had it. He chucked it back, and Stallworth was 60 yards down the field. Caught him in stride and touchdown. Yeah. That's when you knew that team was going to be legit. Like, all right, this team going to be super.
Right, you finally got him another wide receiver. Like, at the end of the day, like, they only could take you so far. Like, this is the problem that Cam Newton is having. He only can take you so far without having no weapons.
Yeah.
After a period of time, you're going to have to get him some help. Like, and everybody hate on McNabb. Oh, McNabb is McNabb. Yo, it was McNabb.
Yeah.
Like, you're not naming nobody else on that offense but McNabb.
Especially before he became strictly, like, in the pocket when he was really mobile. Oh, he used to get nasty. Like, that one scramble against, I think it's Dallas, where he was scrambling for like 12 seconds. That's insane.
And threw it to Freddie Mitchell.
And threw it. Freddie.
First down, Freddie. He over there complaining.
Fred X.
And he needed the ball more. It's my time. Shout out to Freddie Mitchell.
Shout out to Freddie Mitchell. I met him covering games. He's pretty cool.
Okay.
Shout out to Freddie.
I can't believe you had a beef with me. Man, that's my guy.
I mean, I just. It's being bitter, and I realize I had to get over that. Like, look, we wouldn't have been that close if it wasn't for him.
He did all he could do.
I had to understand that, you know.
He had Deshaun Jackson as a rookie and took us to the NFC Championship game.
Exactly.
It just lets you know if you give him weapons, he will be better. That's how I was. But, I mean, I understand where you're coming from with that. There's a lot of frustration, a lot of build-up frustration. That's 5 NFC Championship games, and he only won 1. Sound like another quarterback I know, Aaron Rodgers, but I ain't going to say nothing. let me talk about my Eagles. Yeah. I got Randall. I got Reggie White. I definitely got McNabb. I got B-Dawg. I think my number 5 favorite Eagle, my number 5 favorite Eagle.
I think I might
have to say, man, this is awesome, man. I think I might have to go with this is 5 favorite Eagles. That's hard. That is hard. I might have to say Fletcher Cox. I love Fletcher Cox. I might have to say Fletcher Cox. But I was gearing towards Jeremiah Trotter, though. I definitely was gearing towards Jeremiah Trotter, but I'm glad to say Fletcher Cox. Fletcher came in, did his thing, man. I love Fletcher Cox. Oh, man. That's 5 favorite. That's hard right there, boy.
It is hard.
That was hard.
It is hard because they got so many, and there's so many great things. Like, I hate to leave out some of the tight ends they had from Chad Lewis.
Yeah. I met one of them tight ends. You know my grandma had the restaurant.
Yeah.
One of them tight ends came in the restaurant, and they was talking like, you know, you don't know who football players is without the helmet. Uh-huh. So he was talking. Now he was like, yeah, I play for the Eagles. I said, nah, you don't play for no Eagles. You don't play for no Eagles. And I'm like 11 years old. You don't play for no Eagles. He like, no, I play for the Eagles. He was like, I'm gonna come back with tickets for you. He came back with them tickets, and we went to the Eagles Pittsburgh Steelers game. We lost though, and we had real good seats. And I was like, yo, he really,
like, he was telling the Eagles. The truth,
right? Like, he really played for the Eagles. I couldn't believe it. He was the tight end for the Eagles at the time. It was just like that. That thing was just mind blowing to me. I just couldn't believe it. But he is definitely, yeah, Chad Lewis.
LJ Smith?
No, I ain't named
him. You like LJ?
No. If you got beef with McNabb on choking, you definitely got to have beef with LJ Smith.
Yeah.
Beef got to be equal.
I suppose you can't have beef with one without the other.
No, I don't think you can.
Especially with the drops LJ had, man.
Not just the fumbles and the Super Bowl. Like, come on, man.
LJ. I love
Brent Celek, though.
Brent Celek, that's the other one I was thinking about.
I love Brent Celek. I love Brent Celek.
For some reason, we get them not as them big pass catching tight ends. Yeah, yeah. We get them in the city. And now we got Goddard, who probably will take over for Ertz because they're not going to pay him. They're not going to give him no money.
No, and Goddard is the best tight end in the NFC East.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hands down. So got to keep him on there. So, all right. So, what do you feel about the Eagles going forward?
Going forward, yes. A lot depends on what I'm saying with the line. And whether or not this new nucleus with the age guys like Kelce and others on the right side with Lane and them, those guys, those veterans, and then the guys like Samalu on the other side and Mailata, can they, you know, they gel? And if they can stay healthy, they can be a team that can give you, especially with all the games they play now, it's like 17 games. 17. So, like, we saw this division is still not good. Like, the team that won it last year had a losing record.
Right.
They were 7-9. So, you mean to tell me that if that O-line stays healthy with Jalen Hurts making the plays like he was making last season and, you know, bringing in Devontae Smith, who is fucking toothpick, can I get the buddy in a sandwich? D, can I go get him a sandwich? Can I go get him a platter?
Exactly.
I'm seeing him at training camp. I'm like, my man is the I don't care what y'all tell me. You're buck 40. So
he do look like he a boxer size, like him and Boots the same weight. That's what it looked like.
Exactly.
Him and shout out to Boots Ennis.
Exactly. Shout out to Boots. But yeah, I mean, I think they have some potential to at least stay competitive in that division. I'm not gonna go out here and call them world beaters like they got a chance at winning the title. I think they can compete in that division every single year in and year out because of that poor, and you still have teams that have huge weaknesses. Dallas still didn't do anything for their defense. They're gonna let people throw up 30s and 40s week after week. They have no defense.
I'm going to that game on week 3 anyway.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna give me some tickets. And then Washington, I'm supposed to believe in Fitzmagic? Is that what we're telling me? I'm believing in Fitzmagic? I'm cool with Fitzmagic. And then Danny Dimes. Danny Dimes is the only one. And, you know, I like Dak. I think Dak is tough as hell.
Dak's the best quarterback in the division.
Yeah. But I'm like, I'm not scared by anybody because of some of the glaring weaknesses. So it's like, moving forward, I mean, the one thing that does give me trepidation is the defensive backfield. I saw no real improvement there. I mean, they drafted some guys, and they say they have promise, but, like, you didn't get, like, a name. You don't have a name back there on the other side of Slay. Am I believing in Avante Maddox? Am I believing in Cravon LeBlanc? Is that what you're
telling me? I don't have a problem with them.
No, I like them. I like Strap, and I like Avante. I like them. But I'm just saying, I wish I had, like, another name. Like, it would just make me sleep nights at night.
I have a problem with our linebacking core.
Oh, my God. They never address linebacking. No. And then, like, Singleton was solid, but I'm like, all right, put some pieces around him.
Right.
That's out here like, it don't matter.
Right. And it's like, when we did draft linebackers that we, you know, that was gems to us, they don't want to pay them. Now, right now, as we speaking, what you call him is on the trade block for the Arizona Cardinals. Hicks.
Yeah. Yep. And
I say trade Zach Ertz and go get him back.
You're right behind your head is something signed by Jordan Hicks.
Right.
So yeah. Oh yeah. We got a couple people checking in. Kellen checking in, talking about Ricky Williams.
Yeah. Shout out to Kellen. Shout out to Kellen for the coaches, Buffalo Bills fan.
Like, as much as we bitch about, or we could try to bitch about McNabb, we made the right choice in not picking Ricky Williams.
Yeah, we made the choice of not picking all the quarterbacks. He's in those exactly. Couches.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe Dante Culpepper, maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Keely Smith.
Keely Smith, right.
God. We made the right choice.
We made the right choice. I have to agree with you on that one. Mm. So, all right. So, do you have a prediction?
My prediction for the season is I think they go 8-9.
Okay.
I think they win. I'm being bold. I think they win the division.
With
8-9. I still think this division winner is not going to be a team that has a winning record. You're not going to convince me this division is going to be a team with a winning record. Unless I see something as far as some of those learned weaknesses being worked out. If Dallas comes out the first couple of weeks and they look like they play defense, then maybe they might be the favorite given the talent that they had.
Okay.
But other than that, I think they can go 8-9, they can win the division, and they'll be out in the first round of playoffs, whoever they play.
Okay.
That'd be it for them. What about you?
I ain't giving no predictions. I did that last year. Last year I said we was gonna go 13-3. You seen the outcome.
Oh yeah.
I ain't giving no predictions. I said this year I'm not giving out one prediction. Let's switch things over. Let's go to our beloved Philadelphia 76ers, who made it out the first round.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Doc Rivers overcame his 3-1 deficit one time. So,
exactly.
We'll see how it goes moving forward. We now have the Atlanta Hawks. What do you see in this series?
I see, to a man, I believe the Sixers are the better team.
Without Embiid?
Even without Embiid, because I just don't think Atlanta, to me, like, the way they score is a particular way. Like, they score a lot with Capella and John Collins around the basket. It's not like they have set plays. Capella has putbacks. Like, I was at the last game they played Atlanta, and, yeah, they had Embiid, and that's primarily why they blew them out. They won by 20-plus.
Okay.
But also, you saw, like, once they lock down on defense and they eliminate those second-chance plays, and those offensive rebounds that Capella seems to get, then literally once they lock everybody down, there isn't many other people that can go create and get their own basket, get their own shot. So I think if they had a prime, healthy Embiid, the series would be over in five games. But I don't know his where he's at. So, to me, I think the series goes six. I think the Sixers win in six. I don't think they – I think they are able to steal one in Atlanta, and that's what it comes down to. I think they win at home. They steal one in Atlanta. But or, you know, they win that game out, but they win game six. I believe that would be in Atlanta. I think that's the one they probably steal. But I think they just are the better team. I like what I'm seeing out of Tobias. I was at game five, and what I saw with them being a complimentary basketball team and the way they moved the ball around, and then one guy said, all right, tonight's going to be my night. Maxie said, tonight I'm going to set the tempo. And then Seth was like, all right, I'm going to shoot the lights out.
Right.
You give me the rock, I'm not giving it back.
Right.
So you got that, and then Tobias was consistent. He had 28 and 9 and 6, so he was consistent. Like, you get that, and then Ben had a triple-double, so – you get that, and you're able to work the ball around. They, even with the hero ball, even with the one guy going off, Bradley Beal had 30 points at a point in the third quarter.
He's a sniper.
I don't know what Doc says. I don't know if he gets the special just stuff like Space Jam, but he told him locked down. He had 2 points from the middle of the third quarter on.
Mm.
Where they got nothing. They got triple teamed, double teamed, up high, near the top of the key. And that's what they may have to do with the Trey, just to, if he starts to get off or he starts to mix it up. And I think Doc is going to have a game plan either way for however it goes. So I have supreme confidence in Sixers winning that series. After that, I don't know. And I like to tell all the Sixers fans that were in attendance last night, they were screaming that we won Brooklyn shit, shut that up. Relax.
I don't think we're getting Brooklyn.
No, I think Milwaukee's going to win that series. I'm with you.
Yeah,
but I'm like, can you get past, or you got to get past first? I mean, worry about them beating who they got to beat. Are you just going to be like, we want Brooklyn? Like, you see what happened when the Knicks did that, right? That didn't work out for them.
Right. I do think we got to set the tone from game one, even if Embiid doesn't play. Tyrese Maxey got to get more time because that young man is ready to ball. I mean, not only was he out there scoring, he was facilitating, playing defense. Yes.
Oh, well, Doc has put the word out that he is going to be getting Shake's minute.
So. Yes, Shake disappeared.
Shake pretty much was like, yeah, I'm good.
Like, I guess Shake was like, I ain't winning 6 minutes a year. I ain't playing no more. Like,
exactly.
Like, Shake has disappeared. This really is. Forkmaz is looking better than Shake.
Exactly. Forkmaz come in and get you a basket, get you a three, right. Get you a corner basket and whatnot.
I don't understand what's up with Shake. And the crazy thing is, that was Shake thing going to the hole.
Exactly.
That was his thing, and I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. But
I don't know what's going on, but I think
if Maxey plays the way he plays and Ben Simmons keep making his free throws, that's a big thing we didn't talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
Ben Simmons making the free throws.
He started making them, but
I realized
it was beautiful. You know, it was beautiful, and we went nuts because they went to the hack of Ben, and he made two in a row.
Right.
And then Scott
left it alone.
Scott Brooks left that shit alone. He was like, all right, he's making
them. Ben was shooting free throws since 3:30 in the afternoon.
The whole time during the intermission, he was practicing free throws.
He's a true light skin guy. He don't like when bad shit is on him. He's a true light skin guy. Yeah. But I'm gonna say it like this though. I see a Sixer sweep.
Oh, okay.
I see a Sixer sweep.
Kind of Philly matchup good at Atlanta. Six and a half. Ben can check Trey, make it hard for him to shoot. You're right, Kellen. He is gonna make it hard for him to shoot faster.
I think you missed the comment. Did AB say something about? I think AB said something.
He said, "No, I'll go back to the Eagles talk." Last night.
And he said, "Where you see 8 wins at, beloved?"
I see it primarily. They're playing a last place schedule. Now, if you're telling me they're so bad, they're worse than the worst teams in every division from last year, then that's your opinion. Me saying, I think they can win half of those games, and then division games are toss-ups anyway. They seem to have owned the Giants. I mean, they're not giving the last, you know, bit. Yeah, but all of those games are games they have a chance to win. That's where I see they got some really hard games. But I see the games they're playing against weak opponents where those teams stunk last year. They play a lot of teams that didn't make the playoffs, didn't come close. I'm like, they can win those games. I have to believe they can win the games against inferior opponents.
Well,
I'm not asking you guys crazy. And then we all know.
A Buccaneers fan from Philadelphia.
I didn't say it was going to be them. I ain't stupid. I'd be like, oh,
I might be stupid.
Although they are known to win games, they're not supposed to. We all know that from 27 years of watching this team. You're like, oh, yeah, they ain't got no chance in this game. Like when they beat New Orleans.
Right.
Like,
no, I know it's going to beat New Orleans.
To me, it just seemed like one of them games. All right, this is the game they're gonna win. Once.
Yeah,
but yeah, the games like that, you never know.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't be understanding it sometimes either. It just
plus, I think they got a new philosophy with Sirianni. He likes to run the rock, and I think if they concentrate on that and kind of condense these games to where they're not getting the shootouts with teams that are vastly inferior as far as offensively, to where it can expose their defensive weaknesses, they make the game short. And they run the rock, they can eke out and steal games to where they can kind of control the time of possession. They're gonna have to run the ball. So whatever that committee is, right now they got five guys in the running backs room. So I think they may go Howard.
I think Howard's
Sanders.
Cut.
Well, if it's not Howard, it's gonna be Sanders,
Kerryon,
and probably Boston. The rookie. I think they're gonna let Boston gotta go.
They might let Boston go to special teams.
Yeah. Punt returner or something like that.
Purple turn, kick return.
Yeah, but like they're gonna have to be able to run the rock and then that way try to shorten the game. Because if they get in these long games where they're getting three and outs and they're not staying on the field, they're gonna lose a lot of games. And then AB would be right. You're not gonna see 7-8.
I still believe that the Eagles are gonna make a move to get Julio Jones. I still believe that. I forgot to say that part.
Oh, I'll be all for that.
I still
can we have that? Can that happen, please?
I think we're gonna end up getting him for a second round pick. All that first round pick that they're talking, I believe that's what they want, but I think we're gonna end up getting him for a second round pick.
Yeah, I mean they gotta do something with those picks they got, especially if Carson plays the 70% of the game and it turns into
that's
three
the one
first
I would
round
trade.
Picks.
I would trade that one.
Yeah, trade that pick.
I would trade that pick because I ain't depending on no Carson what's the play. No, that land is depending on that.
Trade that pick.
Yeah, he definitely said we're gonna see. But yeah. I wanna know did we back on the Sixers because the Sixers like I said, I see the Sixers sweep. But I believe we're just too dominant defensively and they don't have enough to stop us.
Yeah, when they lock in, it's something nasty. Like I said, I was at the game last night. When they locked in at the end of that third quarter and beginning of that fourth, it was over.
Yeah.
I told everybody, they got the lead. They were studying the lead. It was like 4, 6, 8. I was like, the minute they go past 10, this game is over. They're not letting them get any closer than that, and they didn't. They got up 11, 13, and they never trailed by less than 11 after that.
No.
I was like, they were locked in. They start forcing bad shots,
yeah.
And then transition game was crazy.
Yeah. And that's when Ben Simmons is at his best in transition.
Oh, yeah.
And definitely when he's at his best. But I want Embiid to be healthy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
For the third round. Now, since we're talking basketball, LeBron James plays tonight. This could be his last game of these playoffs. That'll make my day. It really would.
Oh man.
These Laker LeBron fans, this would make my day. But what I want to know is, do you believe that the Suns win at 6? That's all I've been saying, the Suns and 6.
I think the Lakers win the game, but I think they lose game 7. I think they win game 6.
They lose
game 7 in Phoenix. Mm. I think they win game 6 at home. LeBron has one of those LeBron game 6 performances where he tends to just go bananas. I don't know what the status of AD is, but they don't win game 7 without AD in Phoenix in no way, shape, or form.
How do you feel about the LA Clippers and the Dallas Mavericks?
Oh, I think Luke is gonna put them in the mixer. That series is over. I'm calling that. In game 6, they're gonna win that series.
I think the Clippers won that
game series. 6 in Dallas.
I think because ain't nobody won at their home floor.
True.
So I think the Clippers win that series. I got faith
you
in
got
Kawhi.
Faith in pandemic P.
No, I got faith in Kawhi Leonard.
I got faith in Kawhi. At some point, he's going to have to put the clams down on Luka, and he's like, my man don't want no parts. He want no smoke. With the Slovenian nightmare. He don't want no smoke.
They call him Baby Bird.
Baby Bird.
Yeah, but I got faith in Kawhi because this is kind of what Kawhi did when he's in Toronto. Like, yeah. he have a game where he gonna fight, have another game where he disappeared. Like, this this is kind of what he was doing in Toronto. That's why I thought the Sixers was gonna beat him that year because I was like, oh, he ain't even consistent.
And all them damn the triple, quadruple doink. Damn it.
Something's wrong with that rim. I don't care what I'm saying. Something's wrong with that rim.
Said that was a double rim from back in Mallory.
That's a Fern Hill rim, man. That's a Fern Hill rim. It's cheap, man. Yeah, but that's exactly how I feel on that situation. Now,
Kevin talking about Thibault. Yeah, I'm big on Thibault. T's be playing that D.
Yeah, but he ain't got no jump shot. He got to throw up a jump
shot. He been trying, though. He shoots him, though. So
we like, not have that shooting. Many people on our team that does not have a jump shot. I understand how the important defense is. I'm a defensive guy. But you have got – even – I always tell everybody, Eric Snow couldn't shoot. But even Eric Snow took jump
shots. Oh, yeah, he takes – with that high, really using the jump shot when he right. can shoot with both feet up in there.
Like he clapped his feet in there.
Yeah, I'm like, where the fuck are you going? You
gotta take off. I don't know, but he takes like
he snow was my man. Shots. He snow was my man.
Yeah, well, he wasn't my man, but he took jump shots. He wasn't my man, but he's a cool dude. Let's make sure I say that. So the next one, this is the scariest one for me: Brooklyn and Milwaukee. Now, I believe that Milwaukee matches up defensively with Brooklyn.
Yeah,
like they right there with them. You know, maybe. You know, in the beginning of the season, I was laughing because I was like, paying all that for Drew Holiday wasn't worth it. All them draft picks, like, y'all tripping.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was sitting back and I looked at it, and I'm like, you know what? I might have been wrong. They got him over the hump because Giannis had a thing. He couldn't beat the Heat. I don't know
what the hell that was.
The Heat was like the kryptonite, and Giannis was Superman. Giannis could not – he could not act right against the Heat. He had an okay games, but he could not act right against the Heat. And so what I thought about, I was like, you know, they get past the Heat, they could beat Brooklyn because Jason Tatum snuck out one on Brooklyn putting up 50. They could beat Brooklyn's beatable.
Yeah, and Celtics wasn't playing nowhere the type of defense that Milwaukee could play. Celtics was giving up 140 every other night.
Right.
And Milwaukee plays D. And like you said, I like the matchup at the smaller guard positions with if you're telling me you're going to put maybe Middleton and Drew on Kyrie and Harden, I'll live with that. I'll live with that. And then you're going to have to make Giannis kind of shadow KD or however you're going to do it. But I like defensively the matchup. I think the Bucks are long. I think they can work that way to where they can kind of avoid people staying out in the paint, keep them out on the perimeter, force them to make jump shots. Okay. They're not going to get a bunch of layups and dunks and none of that. And, you know, when you live by the three, you die by the three. And if they don't make them, they can lose games in that series. And Milwaukee can take it. I also don't know, like, you're going to have to now really be able to coach if you're Steve Nash. You can't rely on, I got talent out there. You're going to be able to.
That's right. You're
going to have to actually have strategy.
That's why I believe.
And I trust Mike Budenholzer more than I trust Steve Nash.
That's where it's gonna come down to coaching, because if it's not a beat down by Milwaukee, it's gonna go seven games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Brooklyn beating that series. I just don't, unless something crazy happened. Unless they shoot the lights out the gym, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Milwaukee can shoot the lights out the gym too. So this one right here is definitely gonna be one to watch.
I'm waiting for that next Portland.
That's what I'm about to talk about.
Dame Dollar
put up 55 and still lost.
They didn't give him no help in that second overtime.
Nobody.
Rogo, freaking dunks.
I don't even know why they went and got him, to be honest with you.
That might have been the most fraudulent first team all defensive selection I've ever seen.
I mean, well, he was guarding everybody, but I never thought that he was that great of a defender.
Exactly. Like, I just thought he was nice. You, he was a 3-and-D guy. I'm like, he's not. Would you please stop it?
I just thought he was nice. But, you know, everybody else believed that, you know, no, he's that guy. You got to see, you know, only 28% of the league can score on him. Wait a minute, hold up. You know, in the game a little bit at a time. You know, y'all be jumping that shit on him. Like, no, Rocco's not, you know, he's all right, but he's not that good.
Exactly. And then fucking CJ McCullough was dribbling the ball off his damn foot and stepping out of bounds.
All types of nonsense. CJ McCollum is
I don't know why anybody else had the ball except Dame at the end of that game.
But see, it's time for CJ McCollum, though.
That's run its course.
It's time for him to go. Maybe he go to New York. He can help out over there. But it's time for CJ McCollum to go. He got to go. That's just the way I feel. If you can make the trade, you know, trade some draft picks or something, and
yo, what up, CJ McCollum? Sharon, I want to say Sharon or Sharon.
Chocolate girl, right there.
And listen, about coaches, we don't trust Doc. I trust Doc.
I don't know.
I trust Doc to not have the same issues that Brett Brown had. I trust if they got a lead, they're going to keep it. They've done that all season where, like, they haven't given up those crazy big leads unless something stupid happened. I trust that part of Doc. Maybe not if they
– I don't trust 3-1, Doc.
You know, trust 3-1. Don't let him get up 3-1. Well, he just closed out 3-1. Yeah, you got to believe.
I don't trust 3-1, Doc. He did in the first round, and I applaud you, Doc, but – I just, you know, I don't trust 3-1 guy. That's just a, I don't know.
The chocolate girl is here.
Right. She's also a writer.
Oh, great. Yeah. And you're right, Dennis. CJ McCollum needs to go. Exclamation point.
It's not for him to go.
I remember when people were clamoring that we need to trade for CJ.
I was on that fence to trade for CJ. I was on that fence. And I was like, we need to trade for CJ. But CJ is a third option now.
Yeah.
I believe he could build his way up to be a number two again, but he's a third option now. And they need to look to see if they can get something else. The one thing that's good about him, though, he can be a two-way guard. He can play point guard or shooting guard. That's the one thing that's good about him.
Mm-hmm.
But he ain't going to help Dame in Portland. They need help in Portland. He needs some serious help in Portland. He needs somebody that can take a game over.
He's a fourth option.
She said he's a fourth option?
Yeah. I think he's a third option. He's a third option. Flying High Podcast is here. What's going on, Ron?
What's up, Ron? Ron's Atlanta Falcons fan. So
okay.
And somebody said Julio wanted to win.
Man, Ryan Wash, Ron, just so you know.
Yeah, he said that already. He said that. Julio, he said, everybody keeps saying Julio wanted to win. Bring him to Philly, we're going to You bring him to Philadelphia, we're going to win. That's all I'm going to say. I don't have no predictions, though. But you bring him to Philadelphia, we're going to win. Not giving out no predictions. I'm going to let everybody else give out the predictions.
Week one.
Yeah, week one, I'm being Atlanta for that game.
Oh, sweet. That's nice.
Yeah, I'm being Atlanta for that game. I'm going down there for that one. And week two, who we play week two? Forgot who we played week two. But week three, we got the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, week two, we got San Fran.
Yeah.
We got San Fran. That's right. Week two, we got San Fran. Mm-hmm. Me and Jay will be at the bar. Okay. Me and San Fran fan, yeah. What was that? But we got the Cowboys week three. I'm trying to see if I can get your cousin to go out there with us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Johnny, he's always working hard. But so now, Denver, Portland, what you got on this one?
Oh man, it's gonna be tough. I like Portland to win that series. I think they down 3-2 now. I think they win game six and they win game seven.
Okay. I like Portland to win too, but they gotta get back to that defense that they had before.
Mm-hmm. They really gotta do something with Joker.
Yeah, that's what they gotta do. They gotta disrupt Joker. That's what they gotta do. And make the rest of them guys beat you. Now Denver got some promising guys over there. That for the next couple of years, they could be dangerous, but they got to start stepping up. I don't know how they snuck up and got Aaron Gordon.
What's going on?
What's up, man?
I don't know how that happened, but yeah, I believe in Portland too. Definitely believe in Portland. Did you feel bad for the Knicks?
No, I
didn't.
No, hell no. Ain't nobody
feel
bad for no damn Knicks.
I don't feel bad for Philly either. That's gonna get that ass busted week one.
Here we go.
Yeah,
that's the last
time. Y'all busted.
Mm-hmm.
We had that one lucky play the last time we played them.
Hey, a win is a win. Ain't that what Dennis told me?
Hey, play to win the game. That's what that was. That's the point. You play to win the game.
But who do y'all? He went out y'all to Philly.
That's what you said about
Well, I know. I got inside.
Y'all won't take Ertz for him? We give you Ertz?
Hell no. There's nobody want that broken down pizza. Toilet paper.
What you said about Darius Slay, though.
Don't nobody want that broken down tight end.
Yeah, but you said the same thing about Darius Slay. You said Darius Slay wasn't going to Philly.
Don't nobody want y'all want to be tight end.
I want to be tight end. Answering the question, what about Darius Slay? You said Darius Slay wasn't going to Philly. You got Slay. You got Julio too. But y'all not finna get Julio, dog. I told you this. I told you this. You don't listen. Okay, we'll get Julio.
Buffalo can have Julio. He overrated.
I don't think he overrated. But I take Julio.
Terrence said he overrated.
Yeah, that's
I'm going to tell you this. Julio is a top number two wide receiver in the league.
I don't know about all that.
When healthy, he better than anybody on Pittsburgh. I tell you that, wide receiver wise. Man, healthy.
What are you talking about in Pittsburgh? Juju can't dance or whatever. I'm cool on Juju. He bad, Juju. Yeah, he bad.
Juju might be having nightmares about that.
No. He ain't better than me. He ain't better than Mike Evans.
But good show.
He ain't better than Stephon Diggs?
No, Diggs is
Diggs is nasty. I won a fantasy championship with him last year.
That was a good move. But Diggs made a good move. I'm not allowed to say that. That was a good move for him to go to Buffalo.
Oh yeah, the Diggs Allen connection is a good connection.
I'm gonna have to agree with that.
Oh, I'll take Josh Allen over Kirk Cousins any day of the week.
Yeah. Dang. I don't believe in Kirk like that anyway.
But.
She said, I'll take Juju over Julio. At least he can find the end zone.
Okay, but is he still having nightmares? I want to know that.
Julio, blind man Jones.
I want to know that. I want to know if Juju still having nightmares against Cincinnati. No, I want to know.
I don't know. So, Rob, when is I want to make sure I say it right. Last Out Media. What days are your podcasts
on? My podcast is Tuesday. It's every other Tuesday. So last Tuesday we were off. This Tuesday we'll be in studio.
Every other Tuesday, what time?
4 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
Four o'clock every other Tuesday.
I make sure I tune in every other Tuesday at 4 o'clock.
Me too, man.
We're every Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean,
8 p.m.
Every Tuesday.
There we go.
Every Tuesday. Oh, yo, it's Tuesday. Yeah. Make sure y'all tune in for that.
Talk to you.
Yeah, but right the radio. We always hold it down. Me and my boys, Matt Maritea, Rob Manoff, talking crazy. I got some stuff to ask them about.
Oh yeah, most definitely. And what so when did you start podcasting?
I started podcasting my own podcast was like 3 years ago. The World Warrior Podcast, I still had that from time to time. I started that like 3 years ago. And then like we started this podcast back in the Right to Radio. We started that back in November. Okay. So that was back in November. We've been doing that ever since.
That's cool.
And then occasionally I go on other people's stuff. Like we've been covering the the Fan Control Football League. So we got a podcast for that, Fan Control Football, where, you know, the fans make the plays and all that. It's kind of cool.
Or Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, yeah. Johnny Manziel. And Josh Gordon was in there, too, last year. Yeah. That's crazy. The USFL is coming back. You going to be tuning in, Dick? You going to be tuning in to the USFL?
I'm actually more.
Get Herschel Walker back. I'm like, Junior.
I'm more hyped for the XFL.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to see what The Rock does with that.
Because what Vince McMahon was doing, what it was nice with the pandemic hit. So what Vince McMahon was doing with the XFL was very nice. I'm gonna have to agree. It was very nice. I like some of the things, some of the changes that they made. And now The Rock owns it, and I want to see, you know, if we keep things going.
Yeah.
But the USFL, now the best thing that they did to me was right at the football season was over, they came right out.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. Like, you ain't miss a Sunday.
No, you didn't.
So that was good. Now, how is the USFL?
I'm not sure how they're planning on
how that's going. How all this going to work out?
They haven't put out their game plan yet. They just announced that, you know, they're starting to back up.
They start.
Yeah, like Kellen said, please like and share the show. It's live right now, but after we are done, which will be shortly, if you can make sure you like and share and comments, we'll check the comments back later for any extra comments. But I know I had a ball. What about you, D?
I definitely had a ball. Oh, yeah, I already know everybody know about me, but I wanted to make sure
you
knew.
I like you, but talking me down off my McNabb hate, I appreciate it. I'm starting to become a realist and looking at his contributions, and I appreciate it. But it's therapy. And like my man Ike Turner once said, and what's look to do it, I'm off that narcotic. I gave up the narcotic. I'm done with that. Not hating on D-Nice no more.
No, I can't hate on him, man.
Can't do it.
I don't know how he is as a person. I met him as a person.
I like to have a drink with him. I'm sorry, but that low.
But the player.
Player was fine. Yeah. So that's going to be it for us. Like I said, you can find me on Last Out Media, all my stuff. You can type my name in the search window. You get all my shit. And also, you can check on my social, Rob with a Writer on Instagram, on Twitter, at Rob M. Whitney. I got a bunch of stuff on there.
That's actually how he started on Twitter.
Exactly. I started on Twitter and then became the lead NFL editor for an up-and-coming promotion. So social media works. Getting your name and your voice out there. Comment on stuff. Oh, man, F. McNabb.
Share. I ain't got to look. As soon as I see it, share.
Spring League is positive, Kellen. But, yeah, you can find me on Twitter. That's where I started and became what I am today. I've been to go from a kid, and you can speak to this day, a kid going to the Wells Fargo Center back when it was the core stage, back when it was the First Union,
Spectrum,
and having to sit at the very top level with your back against the wall, right, being able to go in that building and you sitting in the press box with everybody else, it's nothing like it. It's nothing like having that journey.
But you can't cheer in the press box, though.
I'll still be cheering. They be looking at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah, you're supposed to.
Exactly. This is right, yo. They be like, Bobby, cut it out. Right. I'll be like, oh, but did you see the play? I'm like, all right.
You ain't allowed to be cheering, though. That's the only thing that separates me from, like, saying, I want to be in the press box. It's like, I might buy my ticket.
Exactly.
I'm trying to act a little crazy. You know, I'm going to buy my ticket. I'm trying to high-five some fans. I'm trying to see some celebrities, man. You can't do all that in the press box. Like,
I will follow you, Shane. I will follow you.
Man, see, you in the press box. You living the best life. You ain't paid for a ticket.
I ain't paid for a ticket. I get free food. Free parking. I get parking right next to the building. I got
free
walk.
Parking. You drink heavy.
Exactly.
Oh, y'all got your laptops and stuff.
Yeah. Charging. Well, you ain't gonna worry about running out no battery. They got the outlets right there.
Yeah, they got. They said, oh yeah. When you make it to Dollar Stadium, it's even better.
Oh man.
You think the Wells Fargo was nice? The Dollar Stadium even better.
Jerry World, I'm coming. I gotta make it to Jerry World.
Jerry World's even better. You'll see.
But, all right,
that was the one thing that had me thinking. I need to start writing.
All right, we gonna get out of here. Yeah, you can tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, Ignorant Thinker Podcast. Y'all know where to find me. Thank y'all for tuning in. Me and Rob, this ain't going to be the last time you see us.
Oh, no. For sure.
And we're going to bring Rob on Talk US Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
So he can come and act a fool.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, thank y'all for coming out. God bless. Good night.
Good night.